Thank you, Patrick, for reading our scripture lesson this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring, forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. This morning's scripture comes with a hermeneutic warning. Hermeneutics refer to how scripture is translated, both from its original language to a modern language such as English. It also includes how it is translated from the biblical context into our context, spanning thousands of years later. We didn't read this, but 1 Peter begins with these verses. Wives, in the same way, be subject to your husbands. And then later on calls women the weaker vessel earlier in this chapter. And so I want to begin this Mother's Day through the faithful and strong spirit of Shifra and Pua. These are the midwives who defied Pharaoh's orders to harm babies. Through the spirit of Miriam, a prophet of God and older sister to Moses and Aaron. Through the spirit of Sarah, Hagar, Ruth, Naomi, Tamar. Through the spirit of Queen Esther, who used her royalty to do good. Through the spirit of Elizabeth and the magnified heart of Mary. Through the spirit of women who are first to witness and believe the resurrection, through the spirit of Phoebe, an elder of the early church, and through the spirit of every woman mentioned who was simply called woman, and as much as the men wanted to write them out of the story, they realized God's story would be incomplete without mentioning their faith and their witness. Through their spirit, we can say, weaker vessel, really? Really? And so on this Mother's Day, let us reject any use of scripture that refers to weaker, especially in ways that silence voice and choice. The warning is that this chapter deals with suffering. However, the source of suffering is not one's interpretation or holding power over someone else, but rather deals with the suffering associated with those who live like Christ. Have you ever tried to help someone only then to be painted as someone who is trying to hurt them? Have you ever advocated for those in need of food or shelter or safety, and somehow that stance was bad or wrong or evil? How come there are times when we feel we are living our call to love our neighbor like ourselves, but it's met with resistance and hostility? Many early churches had those same questions as they worked out how to be people of the resurrection, how to be Easter people. And that is still our calling today. Most scholars believe that 1 Peter, along with 2 Peter, James 1, 2, 3, and the letter of Jude, were not written by Paul, but in Paul's name, addressing the general conditions of these early faith communities. In short, to embody the living Christ was not only resisted, but it was dangerous. If we can for a moment imagine what it must have been like to be in the early church with Christ as the cornerstone, open to all, affirming to all, centered on Christ's love within a society that was drunk on what makes us different than others, what makes us better than others. You see, in Rome, they valued money. They valued a fresh philosophy and academic credentials. Earlier followers of Christ planted churches within that soil as an inclusive community of Jew and Greek, free and slave, woman and man, rich and poor, and simply by existence, they were a contradiction to the values of the soil they were planted in. Power doesn't look like victory in war. Power looks like serving, washing the feet of others, sharing clothing. Wealth is not about owning a successful business or stockpiling of material items. It is about having enough food and water and to have a good relationship with God. Wisdom doesn't look like an airtight argument for the highly educated, but wisdom is accessible to all through the eyes of children or even the birds of the sky. And because this way was so different, because its values are rooted in Christ, they were not understood by others. Who would turn to the other cheek? Who would have concern for that one beggar I'd like to avoid eye contact with? It was weird and it was unusual to have a form of justice that was not bent on revenge, but built on relationship, reconciliation, restoration, and reparation. What we know about the early church is that living like Christ was dangerous. When they lived like Christ, they endured pushback just like Jesus. Propaganda and slander portrayed Christians as outsiders and disturbers of their way of life. And in some ways, that was true. They had been called to live like Christ, not like Rome. As a result, their faith and witness got them into a whole lot of trouble, even though they were doing the good work. Now, if we could focus on that word good, you know, if we look in the good book in Scripture, good is associated with the goodness of God and the good we are called to do with God, that Hebrew word tov. See, if you can discover some of the commonalities between these Scripture passages. Isaiah 2, verse 17 says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." Amos 5, verse 15, "Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the courts." Micah 6, 8 begins this way, "God has told you, O mortal, what is good. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God." The author of 1 Peter here leans in and quotes for us from Psalm 34 to help us understand, citing where it is written, "Whoever wants to embrace life and fill your day with good, you need to snub evil and cultivate good." God's goodness is associated with life, helping others, being kind, and doing justice. Good is pulling from our collective abundance to share with one another, a redistribution of what God intended for everyone to have so that they may have life. It's not just about ourselves, but our people or our tribe or about our flock, but for every child of God. Just like Israel and the prophets before, the early church struggled to accept that answering God's call would lead to life-threatening resistance. It is good, but it will get you into trouble. Debbie was a member of a church that I served in Illinois, and she was this amazing woman, the kind of person that had been through a lot in life. And you could tell that she had this deep sense of who she was, deep sense of integrity and morality. And on this particular Sunday, I noticed that she looked exhausted. She was sitting by herself with a donut and a cup of coffee, and so I sat down to join her. And as I asked her how she was doing, she began to cry. Her parents were in a season of life where they both needed another level of care. Memory loss and physical ability were making their current living situation untenable. Debbie confessed that it was her turn to be mom. She gathered up all the facts, she looked into the best care, and she delivered it with care and compassion. However, when she sat down to talk with her parents, they were furious. There was a lot to that reaction, and Debbie was prepared. She knew that they expected to be in their house when they died. They did not want to lose their independence. Who would? They felt guilty that their daughter had to go through all this trouble, and they were afraid of change. But Debbie knew it and held them in that frustration and uncertainty. But something had to change. And because she loved them so much, a love like Christ, Debbie shared the truth, sat in the big feelings, and remained steadfast on what was best for their health and well-being. It's not easy to love as Christ loves. Embodying Christ, doing what is good, won't help win any popularity contests. In fact, it can get you into trouble. It was the late Senator John Lewis who often talked about getting into good trouble. A follower of Christ himself, he found himself on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, marching for voters' rights. Lewis saw how keeping black people out of the political process was not only detrimental to black people, but to the entire community. Carving out districts, limiting their voice, was not good for a healthy democracy by the people and for the people. We might pay attention to him these days. But with Christ, he marched. He stood. He faced 150 troopers for what was good and rooted in faith, infuriating others. His head was fractured in two places by billy clubs, but because of his belief in nonviolence and a peaceful way, he nor any others who were assaulted returned violence with violence, but returned violence with blessing. The early church is discovering what Jesus knew so well, that this call to channel God's love in the world is hard work. It is painful work, heartbreaking work, and at some times it is body-breaking work. When we embody Christ, we can expect slander, we can expect backlash, and we can expect that not everyone will fully understand. We can expect people to take flags, and we can expect vile comments on social media. We can expect that, church. These verses in 1 Peter are encouraging, acknowledging that a condition of the call to live like Christ is resistance and sometimes hostile. It comes with the covenant. And I don't know about you, but there are moments when I need this kind of encouragement, especially when I feel that urge to hurt with hurt, to deal with pain by causing pain. And so I invite you to listen again to these words from 1 Peter for those struggling to keep doing good when it's hard. Be loving. Be compassionate. And that goes for all of you. No exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, this is what you must do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. In fact, snub evil and cultivate some good. If with heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good if that's what God wants. That's what Christ did, for Christ too suffered. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. The good news is that we're not alone in this call. The crucified Christ has felt the nails and the insults of living the good news. And the risen Christ has compassion and promises Christ's presence with us in difficult conversations with family and with us in our call to cultivate a place, a community where all can live without fear or want. Now, if only there were a person in all of our lives who exemplified what self-giving love looked like. I don't know, someone who risked their body, their well-being so that maybe we had life or we could be born. Someone who did not tap out when things got rough, but guided us when things got hard. Oh, yes. Perhaps it's that very strong vessel we call mothers. We call mothering figures in our lives who, like Christ, were tired, were underappreciated, but kept blessing anyway. Church, keep doing good. Do good like a mother, like Christ. Amen. Amen.